This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:02 here in the Bayou City. And hour number three already. Let's run down to Corpus Christi. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Cliff Webb, see what he's up to. Cliff, good morning. Hey, man. Good
morning, Mickey. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm good, bro. What's up with you?
Just recovering. Recovering from a long week, man.
Long week?
Oh, my God.
Good fishing
and everything, you know.
Long days.
Oh, man. Yes, I normally don't stay out very late. You know, I don't normally end by 12:30, 1 o'clock, and I think we stayed out till 2 o'clock the other day. Just like, it's just, you know, trying to get them on some, trying to get them to catch some fish. We's on fish, just trying to get them to catch them. But anyway, it was a long week.
Hey, you can lead a horse to water.
I know what it is. Anyway, I had to like the over-the-hill gang all week. You know, it's just so great. I had some great fishermen, but all of them are old farts like me, you know. So,
right.
it's just real dated equipment. I had a guy show up this week with a 12-foot surf rod, you know, and just, I don't know if he's ever fished, but maybe 20-yard cast, about as good as he could do. But it was a tough crew. When you got tough fish and you got fishermen that aren't very good, it makes it a long day.
Boy, we got a lot of fish. Used to get me, man. They'd show up with gar rods, and I'm going,
oh my God,
guys, this just didn't going to work out. It was so bad one morning, and I pulled another ramp. I said, guys, we're not going to be able to fish like this with this tackle you have. Well, we thought this was light tackle. I said, yeah, it's light tackle if you're fishing for grouper. You know? So I said, y'all hang around here. And I left my boat in the water and pulled my trailer. I went all the way back home and got a bunch of rod and reels and then came all the way back. And when I put those rods in their hands, they said, we didn't know there was stuff like this. I said, yeah,
I know it.
You guys are in the dark ages.
Oh, I know it. And then he barred one of the other guy's rod. It had about a half a spool of 10-pound mono on it.
So oh, God.
I said, all day, I said, well, we can't wade with these guys. We got to drift, and we can't get in the rocks because they're going to hang every rock I got. So I was just limited to what I could do with them, you know. So
I know.
God almighty. But, you know, it was a tough day. But early in the week, I had some really nice guys come down and real good guys, just dated equipment. You know, it's so funny because one of these guys got a big old snap swivel about as big as your hand, you know, and I cut it off and make him a leader. And he cut that thing off, put that snap bottle, and put a big old, like a big bill snapper plug that runs about 25 foot deep, 8 inches long, and throw it out there. And I cut it off, put a little John back on. He put it back on. So I finally just gave up. He went through everything in that tackle box, every kind of striper plug, every kind of giant rubber worms. I said, if these guys just throw the two things I tell them all day long, they catch a lot more fish, but they got to go through all the toys, you know. But it's all good. I enjoyed them. They're a lot of fun people, but I just didn't have good fishermen this week, and I didn't have any wade fishermen. I had my boat guys, but we got it done, caught a lot of little fish this week, you know, a few big fish here and there, but just tons of numbers. Our numbers are way up.
Yeah.
You know, but the trouble is our really big fish are up there really shallow, and you got to get up there and wade and sight cast them and do what you got to do to catch them, you know. But it's all good, Mickey. At the 4th of July, I went up to my son's place up on the lake last night, and I don't know how many hundreds of dollars worth of fireworks my grandson shot, but it was unbelievable. They go to the fireworks stand this time of year, and everybody pitches in and get a bunch of stuff, and my grandson is the shooter, so we all sit back and watch him. So
awesome.
That was a good show last night, man. And, you know, every year he gets hurt. You know, it's so funny because this year he dropped a brick on his toe 2 days before it, so we couldn't go surfing with him. I could surf my granddaughter. I couldn't surf with him if he dropped a brick on his toe. And then he's trying to run away from the fireworks when he lit him with almost a broken toe. But anyway, we got her done. I think last year he was wearing a pair of those rubber boots, and he lit a sparkler and dropped the sparkler.
Oh, went
the
inside
boots
the boot. Oh, Lord!
With a pair of shorts on, and we couldn't catch him to get the rubber boot off. So I told him this year, I said, if he's wearing rubber boots, I said, if he's wearing those boots this year, I'm duct taping the top of them. You know, anyway, he was wearing some tennis shoes this year. We got her done, but that was a lot of fun hanging out with the kids, man.
Man, when I was a kid, there was in our neighborhood, there was a couple of twin boys that lived around the corner over by my buddy's house, and I think their name was Rebel and Rowdy, and Rebel was the two little boys' names. I mean, classic names back then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of them had a roll of Black Cats hanging out of his back pocket of his blue jeans.
Yeah.
And we're all popping fireworks. Well, somehow those Black Cats lit off in that back pocket, you know, where they're hanging out.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And he wouldn't stop running. We're trying to tackle him and
no.
get his pants off, and it messed him up big time. His butt looked like hamburger meat.
Oh my God!
Oh, it burned him bad, and just oh man, he was in pain. We couldn't get him to stop screaming and crying. It was terrible.
Man, I tell you what, the fireworks now are so different too. So my grandson has evidently discovered the premium fireworks. So, you know, Grandpa shows up with his little, you know, $100 bag of just normal stuff. Well, they got the Gucci stuff. They got the, you know, nuclear stuff that sounds like a grenade going off. But like $35 stuff, a shot, you know. But
right.
I'm going to tell you what, that's impressive. You know, that is something else. They drop them in those tubes and they shoot up like a cannon going off. That's just something else. But this is the best 4th of July I've seen for people celebrating. Everywhere I went, you know, people really supporting our country and just, you know, flying flags and shooting fireworks makes you feel really good.
Yeah. It does. Pretty patriotic weekend so far.
Yes, it was. And the island is just absolutely packed with people on Padre Island. You can't get another car on this island right now, so we're
really
hunkered down. You know, just absolutely nuts how many people came out here. And the fishing, Mickey, is incredible on the surf at the waves. Even with the waves, you know, we're catching fish, and my buddy Greg is catching them on Little John's in the surf. We normally fish topwater. Of course, I've been busy in the bay. I've been working in the bay. I'm normally coming in by 1, you know, at the latest at the dock at 1. I've been coming in
right.
2:30, you know, trying to get
man.
These guys on some better fish. You know, it's just too hot. But he's been going in the morning and just fishing the first gut there with the little XL Little John, and he's caught a couple 29s and 30-inch fish this week out of the gut.
Awesome.
So there's some big fat, and they're full of eggs. So they're there, and I think this week, I was listening to the blog too, like we're going to get a wind change this week and get it down. So,
that'd be sweet.
And I'm taking off 2 weeks. I'm not going to do nothing but fish.
I saw where somebody drowned on y'all's beach yesterday, mile marker 19 or something.
No, I haven't heard that yet. I was gone. I didn't see the news.
I saw that on social media this morning.
Oh, that's sick. I just saw that Central Texas stuff just makes you want to throw up. That's just,
isn't that pathetic? That is so sad, man.
I can't get over that. It's just unbelievable.
It's sad.
You know, I got all my grandkids going to camps and stuff like that too. You know, it's just like, God, how do you say goodbye to them? They don't come back. You know, so like, golly, it's just, that's a heartbreaker, dude. I mean, I'm hoping they'll find some of them, but anyway, I know everybody's praying for them like we are. But
yeah,
it's a crazy weather, man.
It is. I mean, all that rain just kind of went up there and it just, mm-hmm. you know, became stationary. There's nothing to move it around, no high pressure or anything. And
mm-hmm.
it just sat there and just turned into something. Looked like a tropical storm on radar right in the middle of Texas.
Did. Yeah, you know, we were getting a little bit of rain down while we're shooting. We were up there by Mathis where my son's place is, and it was raining a little bit there. But we're looking at radar going, oh, my God, it's still up there. It's crazy stuff, man. Mm.
Well, I got a text from a listener. He said, good morning, Captains. Was wondering what brand swivels and fishing line you both prefer. Thanks, Dan.
Mm.
There's a lot out there. Well,
you know,
if I'm going to use
any
swivels, it's going to be Sampo's, you know, something good.
Yeah.
Don't buy the cheap stuff. Buy something quality.
No, that's it. Just buy the expensive. I don't use any swivels ever. You know, I never use a swivel ever. I don't use no swaps. I tie loop knots. I tie direct to line, and I don't use split rings. I don't use none of that stuff. Anything that can fail. I've lost the two biggest trout of my life, one from a split ring and, you know, one broke the line. But, you know, I want you know, you think about your hook has got to be good. You got to have a good hook. I don't care what you're throwing, you got to have a good strong hook. You got to have a good leader. You got to have a good nod, because, you know, down here at any time you can catch a big fish. And also, you can't let these fish run. A lot of these areas you can really let these fish run through and let them play them down. A lot of areas we fish, you got to kind of short line them and get them out of these areas. It's a little different. So,
exactly.
But the thing I was listening to plug about is so interesting is about, you know, leaders and stuff. It's so yeah. different about sink rate on fluorocarbon. And I can see why James does so good on that fluorocarbon when you're waiting, you want that line to get down. I understand that. That's something, you know. So it does have its place. I think I throw too hard. I snap it off. So I'm always using that, like that J, I'm kind of using that mono leader. I really whip it when I cast and I, you know, set the hook pretty hard. So, but I do have that time where I'm watching somebody that has the fluorocarbon is getting down there to the fish quicker than I am, especially in deep water. So
yeah,
it's all got its place.
It does. There's just, yeah. you know, sink rate. And then you, like mm-hmm. when I come down and fish with you, and a lot of people go, well, you know, just straight mono leaders, too much stretch. Well, no, not if you buy you get the Berkeley Big Game or the XT,
right.
something like that, and the 25 to 30 pound test, you don't get that stretch with it.
Right.
And I mean, if you're any kind of fisherman at all, you can deal with stretch or no stretch. It just
right, exactly. You know, just kind of adjust yourself. Yes,
you want your rod and your rod tip to be the forgiving agent in that part,
yeah.
not the line. And mm-hmm. now, when you get into these soft lines, like remember the Berkeley made that what was that line? A lot of people liked it because it cast good and it was real smooth. But I mean. I swear, if mm-hmm. that line would stretch 20 yards before the drag started going out. It was so soft and stretchy.
Well, you know, we stuck with that 15 Big Game for a long time. You know, we caught a lot of really big trout, over 10 pounds
on
15 Big Game.
I can't tell you how many big fish I caught on
yes.
Big Game back in the day.
Yeah,
that
incredible.
15. We called
and that
it
was
the
a
Mean
game
Green.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Mean Green. I remember that.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times we didn't make a leader. We tied direct, especially it was a bigger plug where we figured the teeth would be on
right.
the plug, those top waters.
And
stuff,
the reason I
direct.
Started using leaders back in the day, because we were always catching those big trout on multi-hook baits like red fins and mirror lures
right.
and the top waters, and those fish would start getting acrobatic or turn on you, and they'd wrap that line, your baseline, back around the hooks, and it would get against the barb, and it'd break you off every time. That's why I went
exactly
to a heavier
right.
leader, like
yeah.
30. And
that's it.
I remember there was times when we were in such big fish, I'd use 40-pound mono leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we broke a lot of 30 down here. It was funny because, you know, we stopped 20, then sometime we go to 30, sometime we get the 30 broke. And what was happening to us on the loop knot, when these big fish were shaking the plastic, that front tooth would hit that loop knot where it's looped onto the lead head or whatever it was,
right.
and scrape across it and cut that loop. Now you come back and the loop was cut. How many times does that happen? You know, so I try to cinch that loop knot down a little bit tighter, you know, below the bill or whatever I was fishing,
exactly.
to try to get that tooth knock out, you know. But
see, and that's when I always just instead of tying the loop knot, I just went ahead and tied it.
Polymer
direct with you know, something like a polymer or
yeah.
you know. A Berkeley trilene knot, or what I call a double barrel knot. It's actually a double wrap on the eye, and then you twist it around and go back through the loop away from you and cinch it down. It's like an improved clinch. But,
wow.
you know, the old timers tied that when I was growing up, and they just called it a double barrel knot because you go through the
mm-hmm.
eye twice and make your loop, and then wrap it around the base of the line. The lighter the line, the more wraps you use. But on just basic mono, I'd use about four or five wraps and then go back through the loop and then cinch it down.
Mm-hmm.
And that knot has never failed, ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good stuff. You know, it's just funny because we use so much the polymer for so many years. And, you know, if you're gonna tie direct to braid, you've almost got to use the polymer.
A great knot.
Yes, and that's what we use other than that. But now I'm hooked on that loop knot. I tie loop knot on everything.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I mean,
I don't know what
with
it is,
jig heads,
I like
mean, it's the way to go. That eliminates the swivel
right.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
you know, and you know, I've seen it where at times where if you just tie direct like a polymer or a clinch knot to your jig head, it works better sometimes, and then the other times the loop knot works most of the time because you get more action out of it the way it moves around on that loop.
Definitely.
You know, with the jig
definitely.
Head, it's
mm-hmm.
crazy. Let me knock this break out, Cliff. I'll be right back at you, buddy.
All right, Mickey.
Hang with me, and we'll go from there. Well, I need to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers, located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. You can check them out firsthand at the store. They have them on display. Or if you need more info, call Jason Cogburn, 281-701-8107. When you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Gulf seafood. If you're looking for the big 9-12-count shrimp or, you know, some blue crabs for a boil or, you know, crawfish, you're still getting a few of those. And their Cajun grill, whether it's at Santa Fe or the store, great barbecue crab recipe. That's a big hot item these days at Boyd's. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. When you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there is no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 621 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back.
All right, buddy.
The guy that asked us about line and swivels a while ago, he said, will a loop not work if you're throwing gold or silver spoons without a swivel? And I kind of replied to him. I texted him back. I said, you know, if you need a good cross-lock swivel with spoons. If not, it'll coil your line up like crazy.
Yes, it will.
Spoons will destroy your line. And use a cross-lock because if you catch a redfish on a spoon and he gets it down in his mouth,
he'll bite it down and open that swivel up
every single time. Mm-hmm. And he won't be able to do that with a cross-lock.
Yeah. I used to, you know, Doug Bird used a lot of spoons for redfish, and he put the swivel on the spoon and tie, you know, the line and just reel it real slow, and that spoon would barely twist, and he reel it real slow. But that was a trick he did. But, you know, we normally put the swivel up on the line, and then most of the spoons had a split ring and tie it, you know, to the split ring. It's just funny how people used to fish spoons. I hardly ever fish a spoon anymore, Mickey. I mean, hardly ever. Do you? I mean, for some reason, we got away from them.
We probably should, you know. What did I have? A customer of mine, he used to throw spoons all the time, and I got him on soft plastics and top waters and all that, you know, all the new stuff we throw now. And I asked him the last time we fished together, I said, you ever throw spoons any more? He said, no, man, them went out of style with Bobby Socks and bubble gum. He said, I'm done with them.
Yeah.
And they still work.
I know
some old timers still chunk spoons, and they just T-roll the redfish and trout with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's funny how that works.
And, you know, there's more to working a spoon than just throwing it out there and reeling it in. I mean, we used to have to jig those spoons, stopping them and starting them, you know, take them down deep, bring them up, you know, all the crap. And mostly when I waded and used spoons back in the day, I threw a lot of quarter-ounce spoons. I like that quarter-ounce Sprite better than, it threw better than the half-ounce. You could throw it in the wind better. And then, you know, naturally a three-quarter was, you know, too heavy for wading, unless you're in the surf or out of the boat.
I wish I'd have kept these custom spoons that the full stringer made. Rudy Mayorga made these spoons. This is back 40 years ago. He took a Johnson Sprite, took the hook off of it, and wrapped a single hook in copper wire, then soldered that single hook onto the spoon. Wheatus, but he wasn't on the back in the middle of the spoon. And that thing was so heavy. He'd used a little bitty, the smallest spoon you get, and you could throw it a mile. And it had that really good hook on it, and those redfish tore that thing up. And I remember everybody complaining about those custom spoons, I think, were like $6 or $7. And, I mean, he spent like 20 minutes or something trying to make them. You know, it's just incredible. But I wish I'd have kept some of those because that was probably the best custom spoon I've ever seen. You know, that was nuts how good they worked. But
well, and that's like the Castmaster spoon. Everybody used to throw those in the surf because you could throw, you know, with them crummy rods and reels we had back in the day, you could still throw them a mile into that wind blowing in your face while you're wading the surf.
No,
the old Castmaster.
I remember, remember the crocodile spoon came out, and I took a whole bunch
crocodile,
to Mexico.
Lure Jensen made that, I think, right?
Lure Jensen. I was sponsored by Lure Jensen, and they came down to fish with me, and I said, hey, man, I'm fishing in Mexico down there for those roosters and stuff on the beaches. What I need, and they gave me this big one, you know, and I took it down there, and those fish just killed it. I remember pulling up on a school of tuna, which are kind of, we're trying to get some bait, and these tuna are like maybe 10, 15-pound yellowfin. They're just like rough, like redfish rough of the water. These tuna rough in water. Chicano's got his big rig, and he wants to catch them real fast to put them on the outrigger to troll for tuna. I fire that thing out there with my little children, hang on, and boy, it's taking forever. But God, that was funny. He's getting so mad at me, but they're eating that spoon up. But, you know, he wanted to catch the big boys. But that was a crazy how many tuna were in that Corbetania that, God, 40 years ago, that Pacific, tuna was just unbelievable. You would just cruise till you saw a giant school of them jumping like 55-gallon barrels out of the water, or the small ones. And, you know, I don't know if it's still like that now. I hadn't been there in years, but that was pretty impressive, the amount of yellowfin tuna.
Yeah. Richard was talking about that the other morning, that big one he caught down there in Mexico, 280 or something. I don't remember.
It was giant. Good Lord. Hey, did you go fishing with Hellman?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we went the other day.
I got this call from the bass-fassing guy, Robin.
Yeah, hey, man, Robin, yeah.
Yes, Robin. God. I talked to Hillman the other day, and they had a big bunch of big fish down there with Mickey. And I said, well, I got to talk to Mickey about that trip they had. Man, y'all got some good ones or what?
Yeah, there's Hillman's on some pretty good fish right now for Galveston. I mean, it's just normal fish for down where you're at. But for here, he's on some real nice fish right now, and they're real finicky. You get there early and you'll catch one or two, they won't bite, and then you move on, and he said, well, let's go catch some tide runners. Then you come back to them later in the day, and then you can light them off. And Steve's doing pretty good. But no, we had a good time, and I didn't have any chartreuse silver glitter paddle tails, and I wasn't gonna ask him for one.
You're not going to have him, bro. You are going to go to your post and steal his old baits from him.
I'm either going to catch him with what I brought, or I'm not going to catch him, you know?
You should have just picked up a floater. When he threw away, just pick up one of them floaters in the water that he threw away, you know,
melt it back on there with a cigarette lighter, you know?
Yeah, something get on there.
Remember when you'd run out of baits and you'd use a cigarette lighter to melt your plastic back on your jig head where it'd stay up? Pants wouldn't fall down all the time? Oh,
that's so funny.
But I'm glad you brought up Robin's name. I got to call him this week and get some chartreuse silver paddle tails because they're biting good. That color right now is pretty hot for whatever reason.
And it's so funny here, Mickey, because they put those big chartreuse tails here right now. They won't touch them. They want natural baits. They're eating these little bitty brownies. And so they're hitting the Little John, watermelon red, and they're hitting topwater. And for another couple of weeks, you can do all you want, but that's what they're eating because the brown shrimp are in the system. But, you know, these guys put on these 8-inch giant bright paddle tails and it's clear. Well, they don't catch nothing. We're over there nuking them on the natural face, and it's going to change. Now, in the wintertime, you take that stuff, they smoke it. There's not a lot of bait around, and anything they can see, they eat. But it's funny how certain areas, they want certain things, you know.
Yep, it is. But it's weird.
Tuesday I'm fishing, and I had these old guys and super nice guy. I got one guy from Louisiana. He was my guy that caught most of the fish. He was really good. And so I gave him this chrome topwater, and I said, man, they're really hitting chrome. Now the sun's up a little bit. I said, keep that chrome on, you'll catch a big fish. And he caught some really nice big fish on it. And I'm getting ready to pull a sinker out. I'm coming up to these set of rocks, and I can't really get into the rocks. It's really blowing hard. I don't want to get stuck in these rocks. So as I reach over to pull the drift anchor up, he fires that topwater up against this rock. And he works it, and, I mean, it looked like a dolphin hit it. I mean, it was just a giant fish. We don't know what it was. You know, I've had those encounters with a tarpon last week. I don't think it was a tarpon. It may have been a 50-pound red or a 50-pound jag, but when that fish missed that plug, Mickey, it left a sand boil in the water about as big as a a bathroom. Just a big mud spur.
When we were like, "What was that?" Fish, you know,
the big fish when they blow that bottom up like that. Yes. But you know, it's just crazy what comes through that land cut and what comes through the Packery jetties right now that gets into our system. The old days, we didn't have all those encounters like that. You know, now we're having encounters with big fish. Everybody's having them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard the best story ever. So they're fishing this tournament, these guys, and they drop one of their guys off in the land cut with 7 dozen croakers. This is about 20 years ago. And the rest of them take off to Mansfield to get their fish. They leave him there with his 7 croakers on the side of the cut. He said, just when it was getting daylight, these tarpon were rolling down the cut. And he pitched over there and hooked a tarpon and stripped his line, totally stripped his pool. He sat there for 4 hours with no line on that reel. And the guy came back to get him. He still had his seven dozen croakers. He still had his croakers. He was just missing one. He said,
gosh.
I walked around. I picked up shells, you know. I just walked around. You know. He said, if I had a dip net, I got a limited crabs. But he said, I was sitting. I felt so stupid.
That
I had to throw
crazy.
Those tarpon. But he got smoked.
First one I ever hooked in my life, I was wading to surf and hung it on a number 11 mirror lure.
Uh-huh.
I remember that old man that's standing next to him. He said, boy, that thing started, you know, porpoising away from me and stripped all the line off it. I think I was using a 5500C Ambassador back then. That was probably the best reel you could get back in those days, and it spooled that thing so fast. And he said, yeah, we got up on the beach after everybody's through fishing, everybody's at tailgate, all them old timers drinking a cold beer after their wade, and said, yeah, that old boy over there, man, he hooked a tarpon, and the last time I saw that tarpon, he was headed to Cuba saying, hi ho, Fidel. I'll never forget that.
Oh, that's good. Oh, man.
He stripped me clean. I had to run back the truck and spool up again. That's pretty crazy.
It is
good
always
times,
a shock when
man.
You hook them. You know,
and
it
memories.
Is. I know it, Mickey. We got them, dude. Golly. You know, and it's so bad because when you get so old like I am, you forget a lot of things that happen. Thank God I got all these shoe boxes of pitchers. So I'll just open up a shoe box and reach down there and pull out a pitcher and I go, I totally forgot about that day, that boat, that year. You know, like,
yeah, but when you see the photo, you remember, you know, right off the
everything.
Bat.
Yes. You know,
see, you got a good memory too, you know, like Plog does. You can remember those down to the date almost.
I know.
Let me knock
it.
This break out and we'll come
all
back
right,
and talk
man.
Some more,
bye,
buddy. All right, hang
bye,
on.
Man.
All right, well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for great A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. Just go to downtown Belleville. You can't miss it. Look for the big white sign. Their processing facility and meat market are right next door to each other. Full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that all week long, Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Check out their bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage and homemade hot dogs, original or with cheddar cheese. Hamburger patties, stuffed pork tenderloin, stuffed peppers, stuffed mushrooms. Let the Belleville Meat Market be your backyard barbecue block party headquarters. This is a good weekend for it. They're open all weekend and introducing their chuck wagon patties. These are half-pound beef patties seasoned to perfection and loaded with cheddar cheese. And try their grab-and-go snacking products like turkey jerky, beef jerky, dry sausage, and dry sticks. They're really good. You got to try them. The Belleville's been celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:37. All right, Cliff, we back.
All right, buddy. Hey, did Robin send you some of that new bait, that flamingo?
Yes, he did.
New color.
I hadn't caught anything on it yet. My old fish kind of went off the pink deal, man.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, pink down here is a really big time winter color. But we, you know, I had some, you know, I had people that weren't really, couldn't really work a rat tail. They don't give it any action. But
right.
I can put that pink on with these smaller shrimp in the system. Any little paddle tails working, pumpkin seed, chartreuse. But sometime when this time of year, when those little bitty shrimp are not that little bait, I think it's more of the size than anything. But that's going to be a killer in the winter. Let me tell you right now, man.
Yeah,
I think almost glows.
I can't wait, you know, to go with that pink boss, and you know he's got a lot of good pink colors, different glitter shades in them, and man, that's a good bait from December till about April for me up here.
I know it. Hey man, you were talking.
Rat tails are working good up here now. We're using a lot.
Yes, sir.
Of
I was going to tell you too. You know, the little John is just, you know, like we're talking the other day that, I don't know, everybody's knocking off Little John now. Did you notice that?
Oh, Gulp's got a Little John now.
That's what I was
hearing.
Gulp sent
me a bunch of baits, and they've got one in like, you know, it looks just like a Little John.
I think Hudson Moon caught some the other day in Bath and on him. He sent us a text, and he was catching them on it. But
right.
Yeah, that ought to be a great flounder bait. And, man, we're seeing some big flounder. I'm seeing some guys catch some big flounder. Our flounder deal was kind of late, but now I'm seeing some come in the cleaning table, you know, quite a few flounder.
Yeah, we're catching decent numbers of flounder, and we're not even fishing for them. You know, we just catch them by accident, you know, trout fishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, the other day, Mike called me, and he says, well, how you liking those baits reels? And I said, man, I got a lot of pounds of fish on the first two you sent me, and they're still working. So I'm going to send them back. He sent me two new of the salties. I'm going to send those first ones back. But, you know, he was talking about those first ones.
Just the regular hundo?
The hundo, I was, and I got one salty.
See,
but
I've got two salty hundos they sent me, and they're just bulletproof. I mean
that's
so
what I'm telling
tight
you.
Tight and smooth, and the drags, and I'm going, man.
Incredible.
I don't know how long I've had them. Quite a while now.
And I tell you what I did, too. So when you break them out of the box, and you look at the spool, it's got a little hole in the spool. Before, I was wrapping that line around the spool and tying a knot.
Oh, and doing the slip knot deal? Yeah.
Yes, but now I'm just sticking that line in that hole. I put about 25 yards of mono on it before I put my braid on it.
Right.
And what was happening before is that little knot was making a hump, and I can spool that reel. I can throw all the line off easy. You know, I put a super spook on, I have to stop it or I'll throw the line off. But that knot was hitting my finger and making a groove in my thumb. So now I'm on a slick smooth. So now when I get down to the mono, it's not hurting my thumb. But I have a bad problem with that wind, just letting it go and just throwing it way away from the boat, you know, and getting way out there. But, man, I tell you what, he sent me a salty and he sent me two hondos at the same time. They've been 6 months ago. None of those reels have failed me. None of them.
No.
I'm pretty impressed, you know, and I think I take better care of my reels than I ever have.
You know it's funny that we're talking about this, but Dan, a listener, he said, I have concept reels and I love them, but no one I know repairs them anymore. What reels do you recommend and on the market today? And I said, the bait salty hundo, but they're pricey. But
yes, but they're good, man.
They're
bulletproof.
They'll last you, you know, the concept 13s, I mean, I've still got, you know, the white ones, the C's. Those things are bulletproof. The TXs, the C's, and the E's. The rest of them, I didn't care that much for them, but those three particular ones, I've still got a bunch of them, and they're like butter, man.
Yeah. But, you know, what I think of the Hondos is the selling point of it is that machined frame. That whole frame is machined. It doesn't warp. And, you know, after a while, your reel won't cast. You know, it doesn't cast as far because you've hooked some big fish, you bench your spool a little bit, the frame's warped a little bit, it doesn't cast. The Hondo machine like that, it casts just like it did when I first got it, Mickey.
Exactly.
You know, And all I'm doing is just I'm keeping that little bitty bearing. I put one drop of bearing oil on those bearings, a little bit on them, and it's flying.
Just
but
barely,
that's what's nice about the
thinnest, lightest oil bearing. You know, rim oil is good for that, like we use on our guns, because it's real thin.
Uh-huh.
I like using stuff like that, and even WD-40. But I have that, you know, that X1R, remember that?
That's what a lot of automotive
dealers used and all that.
Yes.
And
yes.
Skeeter gave me a big old giant bottle of it years ago, and I've still got it. And what I'll do is take one of those needle applicator things, and I'll put some of that X1R in there, and I'll just barely put a drop, you know, on my on my oil points, like behind the handles and then tip on a spool. And instead of, you know, those closed seal bearings, I'll just put it on the spool where they fit inside the bearing.
Exactly. And, yeah, inside. Yeah.
And maybe, you know, when you pull the spool out and you just put a little bit in on that gear that grabs the spool, a little bit there and a couple of drops, it'll go down and get on your drag washer and spin it real good. And then the level wind, you know, in the worm gear, turn her loose, baby. But don't over-oil it. If you over-oil it,
that's the worst thing. Yeah, it'll slow it down big time.
People
and
do
if you
that.
Do that, yeah, if you do that, hit it with a hairdryer, get it real hot, hit it with a paper towel, you'll solve that problem. Okay, on synthetic bearings, I never did ask Mike, do you do anything with a synthetic bearing? When I get a little, when you get kind of crusty and get some salt, we have our salt salinity so heavy here, you get a little salt down in there. Do you put any oil on that?
Exactly. You know what I do? I just take a cotton swab with alcohol on it and clean it out real good, and then just oil my spool where it fits inside that synthetic bearing or whatever you call it.
Yeah, I was a wheel's worst nightmare 20, 30 years. I didn't do nothing. I just threw them in the corner, didn't back the drag off, nothing. Now I take them home, I wipe them off, I back the drag off. I'm, you know, I guess when you're old, you have a lot more spare time. You're not doing anything when you get home. When you're young, you got things to do. Let's go to the beach or something. Now you just want to sit in the chair and when you get home.
I remember when we had a Trout Master tournament one time, and my old house where I used to live on Harbor Lane, Raz, my buddy, had a house next door. And Jay and Lowell and all of them, we put them up in Raz's house for the tournament. And I think Norm Charlton was with them then. And I cooked them steaks that night. And he's in there in my tackle room looking around. I had a big old pile of Shimano Chronarchs just laying there. And they're all locked up and froze up. And he said, man, what about all these reels? I said, yeah, I got a gal I take them to. But I just hadn't had time to take them over there yet. Jay sat there in the lawn chair around the fire that night, and he fixed every one of those with alcohol and a cotton swab. He said they just need some alcohol in them. He oiled them up, and they were ready to go again.
Golly, that's good stuff, man. Yeah,
and there wasn't any stories told around that fire that night, I can tell you.
No, I was going to say, I bet there wasn't a quiet moment. Jay is hilarious.
I mean, you get him in a setting like that at a deer camp or whatever, and he's got some stories. He'll make you roll on the floor, man.
Yeah. We were way down there. Barry took me down there to fish with Jay. I guess it was November or something last fall, and we fished a few days with Jay down there in Mansfield, you know. And Jay and I were waiting together. And those poor other guys are waiting about 100 yards. I kept thinking, I bet those guys wish we would shut up.
You know, just shut up and fish, man.
Why don't you shut up and fish over there? Jay and I were laughing and telling stories because between the two of us, there's not much that hadn't gone on in the water that had to happen in our boat. You know, we're telling stories. Yeah, that's good stuff, man. That was fun stuff. You know, I used to fish with a guy, Randy Hoyt, and I don't know where Randy is now, but he was like that.
Randy
he was
Hoyt.
Really funny. I haven't seen him for years.
He
used to work with me. He was in Rockport.
He's a guy in Rockport, I thought.
Yes, I think he'd had a stroke a few years ago, and I think he's in bad health now. But I'd hired him as a guide on the Kennedy, and him and Terry Kalinda. And Terry Kalinda was the first heart transplant person in Texas. And I hired him as a guy. That guy was so good and healthy, you know, he was a first heart guy. So I hired both those guys as a guide. And Randy, you know, he may not have been a great deer hunter, but he was one of the most entertaining people at the campsite. It was just great listening to Randy. But, you know, we think about that.
Yeah, I remember he had long blonde hair and a beard and all that.
Yeah, he was really funny, you know, and just I hired him, and he was kind of the entertainment. But, you know, it's so funny because all those guys I work with at that ranch, I'd say 80% of them are gone and passed away. It's just like, what? I mean, yeah. Like all the cattle guys and all the old guys there, they're check up on them. And, well, he's dead. The quail guy died, you know. And it's just like, wow, your friend list kind of gets thin when you get our age, Mickey. It's kind of scary.
It does.
Shit, man.
Well, I'm just, worried about, the hill country and all up there where all this flooding's going on, because a lot of guys I went to school with, they've retired and they relocated up there. That's where they retired at.
I have a lot of friends up there. I haven't heard from them.
I hadn't heard anything about or from them or anything, so I'm hoping all's well. Golly.
Gosh. Yeah, that was so unexpected.
It was.
You know, the things that happen, isn't it weird how so much stuff happens in the middle of the night where, you got the darkness, you can't see anything, can't do anything. That was another one of those deals. Maybe it would happen during the day, somebody, we could have done something. But
everybody's asleep. But it's up there, it's been dry for so long, and people kind of let their guard down. They don't realize, just a 2 or 3 inch rain real quick can cause flash flooding up there. It's just nuts.
But yeah. So much rock and stuff.
11, 12, and 14 inches in to 4 hour period. That's catastrophic.
Mm-hmm. And it can't really do anything. It's all that rock, so it doesn't really soak in real quick, right?
No, it runs off, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you get much rain out of that, Barry?
I think we got about 2.5 inches here at the house. A couple of times I think my rain gauge total was about 2.5 inches. But
Corpus Christi Lake could use a lot of that water.
God, it's crazy. But what is so cool is, so I work along the Kennedy and King Ranch. That's my office. My office is like, I got a new paint job. So my office was dull brown. Now my office is chartreuse green. It's just really nice. I look up on the bank now, and all the colors and all the birds and the quail.
Yes.
Yesterday I was at my son's place up at Mathis. The quail were going off all afternoon long, all the quail he's had up there, in the rain up there at Mathis. But we've had a little bit of water and rain in the watershed. Hopefully it'll help us, because we're getting desperate down here. And our water is so full of chemicals right now, our city water. It tastes so bad, you got to filter 3 times to make coffee at it, because when it gets low, they add a lot of chemicals to it. So our water is the worst it's ever been. So hopefully we'll get the relief from this.
Oh, and I was going to ask you, I noticed David Rousey and a few of the guys down your way have made these posts about some kind of another desalinization thing that's going to go on, that's going to dump into Baffin Bay.
Yeah, I don't know what that's just. That would just ruin this bad. They can't do that.
They have
there's
a
no
meeting.
Way
they're
to
have
let
a
do
meeting
that.
In. I think it's Kingsville Monday or Tuesday night that everybody he's trying to get everybody to come to. And
I got to talk.
I mean,
to
they
David
already
today
have
yep.
A desalinization thing that's dumping in the water down there to start with, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's brine is what it is. It's salty water.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what's – I don't know
I don't think we need any more salt. We don't need any more salt in our bait. I promise you right now.
High saline
– environment.
Environment anyway, but
I'm hoping that's not going to happen, Mickey. God almighty. We finally get our fishery back to is just almost like it used to be. It's just incredible. They can't screw it up. I mean, nature it can screw it up anytime she wants, but we shouldn't screw it up as being a man. We should leave it alone. I mean, that place is unique. Baffin Bay is a very unique place.
It is. It's a delicate, fishery. It's, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Leave it alone.
I got you.
But I see all this going on down there, just little things like that. I mean, those guys would have a heart attack if they lived in Galveston Bay and had to fish here with all the stuff we have to contend with.
I get my guys that, even though we're catching, we call it 60 or 70 fish yesterday, or day before when it was. And even though we're not catching a lot of big fish right now, the numbers are just incredible. I mean, it's fun to catch fish on top water, no matter what size they are. You're getting a blow up and stuff. But,
exactly.
There was a time we'd fish for hours to get a bite. Now we're constantly something's going on. Constantly someone's got a fish on. So that's a lot more fun than just, even though you can't get the big ones right now.
Tremendously,
So, and I got to help. Packers really help. So hopefully we'll be in the positive ways and open up some more passes. But, Man, Packer's just been unbelievable, Mickey, what it's done. Golly. We got oysters 5 miles now from the bridge. And our sister, awesome. We've never had oysters. So you know how that good that's going to be for filtering our water.
You think? Boy, and it's going to be good fish habitat, too.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is going
to
be great.
To go with the grass and everything else. I mean, mm-hmm. that's just – and that's hurt us more than anything is loss of habitat up here, you know, all our pristine oyster
right.
beds.
I exactly. mean, it, and that
we've lost 80% of them.
That's what you were telling me. That's just unbelievable, man. And, you know, Packery's done away with our brown tide now pretty much. I mean, we have a little brown tide, but, you know, normally by this time of year, the whole lagoon's brown. Well, Packery's not letting that happen. It's circulating and not let that algae bloom like it used to. So the circulation is a big key here. We were closed in.
Y'all open them up and we close them up.
I know it, buddy. I know it, man.
Oh, and Tony G., sent me a message. He said Hoyt said he died.
Oh no! I knew he was in bad health.
He said he
I
died.
Knew he was in bad health.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. I knew. I asked Jay about him last winter, and Jay said I'm not sure if he's still alive or not. I didn't want to say, you know, but I knew he was in bad health. Man. Oh, sorry to hear that.
Terrible. Yep.
Yeah. It's dropping like flies. All my buddies.
It's our age class.
Oh, man, I'm getting ready to have my 50th high school reunion. The dead list is pretty scary, buddy. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, that's, man, the 50th already.
You know, the funny thing about that is the best-looking girls in high school are now the worst-looking, and the worst-looking ones are now the best-looking ones. So what
happened
there?
Isn't that somehow
I have a little,
the worm turns? It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
yeah. It's. I think I'm on 54th or 55th or whatever coming up.
Oh my man. God, man.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
It's time flies.
Definitely got to go to that one. I definitely got to go to the 50th. I mean, that's probably the last one.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a party, Woodrow.
And then it's so sad because most of the guys I went to school with, they're all retired now. You know, I'm still working, but man, guys, just when you're going to retire?
That's a choice we made, man. There's not too good of a retirement program with the gas.
No, sir.
You know,
it's hard to retire when you never work, too, right? If I look at it, too, it's hard to retire when you never work because all these guys are retiring and doing what we're doing for a living. Of course, we're wore out, beat up. We're half dead from fishing so much. But, man, I don't know if I'd change anything, Mickey. That was a pretty good ride, buddy.
Well, you only live once. Do it the way you want. You know, working to me it's not that big a deal because that's all I've done all my life. I started working a real job when I was 12 years old.
Yeah, and it's funny when you get older, you get bored, so you don't do anything. What do you do sitting around the house? I mean, you got to do something.
I mean, you got to have something.
You wouldn't know. You got something going on in your life. I think I'm just going to end up being a beach bum. I think when I can't climb in the boat anymore, I'm just going to be out there in the chair, the lawn chair on the beach.
Hey, man, you can get a walker and all that up and down the beach, man. Put you some wide tires on your walker.
No.
That way it won't sink.
Oh, that hurt, Mickey. That hurt, Mickey. It's coming though, man. Have an umbrella on it because I won't be able to take any more sun, but that's
there
okay,
you go.
Man.
And that's a big deal at our age is the sun thing, you know.
It's, Hey, they got these new canopies on these boats that they're making now. It's unbelievable. You seen those little bitty T tops they got that pop up?
Yeah.
Man, a lot of guys are putting them on. They're not in the way, and they go, like, when you're driving home at 12, 1 o'clock, you're getting out of the sun, and it's so much cooler. So I'm thinking on my next boat, I may put that one on it. I kind of like that.
It'd be nice if they had something that would fold down because, man, a T-top's the biggest nightmare in the world when you're trying to drift fish.
And, oh, man.
Yeah. You know, how many rods have been broken on them and all that, but, boy, they're a lifesaver for the gad who's in the sun all the time.
And, you know, I was watching these videos of boats turning over, coming in Packery and stuff. All of them had T-tops on that turned over because they were top-heavy, the bigger ones.
Right.
I watched a video of a guy coming through the. I could not believe he tried to turn around right in the middle of the wave. He turns around like he's going to go back.
I saw that
the
video. Just rolled around over, buddy. That's pretty.
That's pretty
dumb.
Stupid.
Like Forrest Gump said, "Stupid is, stupid does."
Yeah, it's not true, dude. God.
All right, man. Oh, man. Cliff, have a good 4th of July weekend, and it's always fun talking to you, brother. Give him a number. Somebody wants to come down and hang out and fish.
All right, Mickey. And area code 361-949-0707. Appreciate you having on, Mickey.
Man.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good fourth,
back
buddy.
Down there with you, brother. See you, man.
Well, I'm on vacation now. Come on down. We'll fish.
You got it, dog.
All right. Thanks,
man.
Mick.
Later. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning, Sunday morning, bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.